You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Matt and Greg Snade. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Doing well.
Thanks, guys, for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So both Matt and Greg are in the Collective Genius with me. I know almost every one of these shows now I'm introducing somebody else that's in the Collective Genius, but it's just so chock full of really talented guys that it's just worth having them on. And this is a little bit unique because it's a father-son business. And I'd love to hear maybe how you guys got started and how it worked out that you guys own this company together.
Yeah, that was over 9 years ago. I had a business. I had a friend that was flipping homes in Oregon, and he kept telling me about how much money he was making. And so I ended up going to a seminar. It was a Ron LeGrand seminar. Mm-hmm. It was like a 4-day seminar about flipping homes. And of course, they always say you can bring someone else for free. Matt was 19 at the time and working at the car wash and going to the University of Utah. So I said, "Do you want to come?" And so he said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So we went and learned a lot and thought, you know, maybe this is worth trying. And so we came back and just started busting it up, doing exactly what they said that we should do, yellow letters and other types of direct mail and things like that. And lo and behold, we got a deal. We were doing it for about 60 days. Call came in, and it turned out to be a wholesale flip that we made 50 grand on.
Holy cow, right out of the gates.
Right out of the gate. And so from that point forward, it was like, okay, this works.
Yeah. Yeah. Seminar paid for.
Yeah, we just stepped it up from that and did, you know, wholesale, other types of rehabs, and have been doing that for the last over 9 years. And really are both are equal partners and have just grown the business together. And it's, you know, been a real fun ride.
How cool is that? How many people get to start a business with their dad and grow it into a successful investment business? That's very, very fun.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that people ask us most about when we are at seminars or meet people around. They're always like, "How did you guys do that?" And they're really interested about it. But it's you know, it has its bumps in the road and everything, you know, as far as working our relationship out and making sure we call each other out on things. But, all in all, it's a really, really good setup, and we enjoy it quite a bit.
So the name of the company is The Move Group. You guys are out of Salt Lake. When did you actually form the Move Group then?
Well, it was originally formed 9 years ago, but we went through a rebranding a couple of years ago and came up with the Move name. So it's M-U-V-E. And the Move Group is, we have two entities. One is the Move Group, which is our traditional retail sales side of the business. We have several real estate agents. And then we have another entity, which is called Move Properties, which is the entity that does all of the flipping. We're doing a number of different things now. Since we joined up with Collective Genius, we started rethinking our business. You know, we rebranded it. That was working really well. Then we, from CG, we stepped up our wholesale side of the business. And we've actually gone into some new construction, building homes. We've been buying land. So it's really starting to blossom. And then the other thing is that on the Move Group side, my wife, who was with Delta Airlines for almost 20 years, she joined us in the business too. So she's got her license and does quite a retail business.
So this is a little bit unique. It's funny because I don't think I've interviewed anybody yet that has really done a good job of pairing the kind of the retail agent side of things with the investment side of things. And actually, and so my business, we've got, it's very similar. I actually have a brokerage where we have some licensed agents. And then we have, you know, Georgia Residential Partners, which is where we do our investing and flipping and whatnot.
Yeah.
But we've never really gone after the traditional agent business. And it sounds like you guys are a little bit different where you're really kind of pursuing that as well.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we've kind of stumbled upon, or as we've grown, we realized how much they can work together. When we first started the business, we had our investment side, and we are mainly focused on investment for many of the years. And then when my mom got into it, she was an agent and she kind of did her own thing. She was in a different office. But as we started to grow both of those businesses, they started to work more and more together. And then about 4 years ago, we started an office together, and we started to realize how much those two businesses actually can feed each other. And that came about for two reasons. When the market crash happened, we started to do short sales, and I got my license, and most everyone on our team did, except for Greg. And we started to realize how much money is sitting out there on the traditional side of the business. The other thing is, I remember when we first went to our first course, I had won by raising my hand and answering a question in the seminar, like one of the free discs of how to utilize agents for your investment business. So I always knew there was like a component there. But as we grew our business, they started to work really well together, where, you know, our agents were listing our remodels so that we were outsourcing a lot of that. We are capturing the leads off the signed calls and unrepresented buyers for those people. And then now we're at a point where we have a whole team of agents, and they're running their whole business, and we're doing our investment side. But anything that's not a lead, that's like a wholesale lead, because they want too much, it gets fed over to them. And vice versa, where if they have a lead that comes in, that's a fixer upper, you know, we get first shot at it, and it's really worked out well, to combine those two businesses so they feed off each other. And I would say, especially in this market, there's a lot of money that we make. At least probably half of our profits come from, that traditional side of that business.
Commissions.
Really? Yeah, commissions. Wow. So you guys have ownership, is it like you have ownership over this? It's not, you don't own the brokerage, but you own like the agency or whatever that falls under the brokerage. And so you've got it structured with each of these agents, like some sort of split. Is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. Because we all have our licenses and everything, and we just work it out where, based on how the leads come in and how they're dispersed, it's basically a split that's referred over for who does the work and who generates the lead. I mean, our business is really a marketing business at the end of the day, where we're driving leads to people and they're handling them.
That's really interesting that actually half of your revenue is coming through just the traditional agent side of things. So how many agents do you guys have working for you?
Well, we've got 8 on our team.
Okay.
And 6 of them are agents.
Okay.
So,
wow.
But what's interesting is that when our acquisitions guy goes out, not always is he talking to a seller that wants us to buy their house for cash. That's not sometimes their best option.
Sure.
And so that can easily be converted into a discussion about listing their home.
Yeah.
And the way we did it before, we were always trying to buy it. And, you know, you run into competition, and then someone outbids you to buy it. And what we can do is convert that conversation into a listing and still make good commission off it, rather than losing it either because the seller doesn't want to do it or because someone outbids us. So it puts us in a stronger position to win that deal.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've had this exact debate many times in my office. Is at what point does like your guy in the field or whoever transition from, okay, I can see we're not going to buy this property, and now I'm going to talk to you about listing your property? Because at least in our office, for us, if we're not going to buy it, it's sort of like hang up the phone, we're done. And then somebody else from our office calls them completely separate, doesn't even associate themselves with us, and says, hey, I heard you want to sell your property. We'd love to list it for you.
Yeah. So what we do, TJ is our man who goes out and meets with them. It's all about framing. You know, we talk about framing and CG a lot. It's framing up front what is the best thing for the seller, okay? Mm-hmm. So we talk to them about buying it for cash, but we also talk to them about listing it. So in some situations, when you frame it properly, then TJ can easily, if they determine that the cash offer is not what they want, then you can go to the listing. A lot of times they won't want to list it, or the house just is in too rough a shape. It can't be listed or whatever. But we always talk about that with them, and we talk about it, we frame it from the point of view of what is the best thing for them, okay? Because if you come at it from, we want to buy your house for cash, what are they thinking? They're thinking, this is the best thing for us, okay? Us, the buyers. And so we get them thinking, okay, these guys are trying to help us to do what's the best thing for us, for them, the seller. And so that has been working really well.
Interesting.
And deals that we would have lost, we are now at least making commission on them. And deals that would have gone to our competition, like, you know, they've got a better offer and we're going to have to start bidding it up. Forget about that. Just get your commission and move on.
Right, right. So is TJ, is he like your outside salesperson?
Yep.
So he's over. Now let me ask you this, because this is sort of what we ran into. Is it the same incentive for him to get a, you know, purchase for you versus getting just a listing? Or is it?
He gets a percentage of the profit. So if the profit is on a commission on the listing and sale, he gets a percentage of it. So from his point of view, yeah, sure, he's going to make typically more money if we buy the house.
Yeah.
Because our spread is going to be higher, but he's just trying to make, you know, his commission wherever he can. And so
absolutely,
if it's not going to be a cash deal, he still makes money off of it.
Yeah. He's I guess, learned enough to know, okay, if this deal isn't going to go this way, then let's turn around and transition and see if I can't get the commission at least. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, he's walking into houses that don't need much work.
Yeah.
He goes, this is probably not going to work for a cash buy, you know, so he can get a feel for that. And then he has his framing conversations with the sellers to find out, you know, what they are trying to accomplish, what, you know, have they had bad experiences with real estate agents? Do they not want people coming through their home? You know, there's all kinds of things, you know.
Sure, yeah.
They got siblings that, they, you know, have inherited a house, whatever the situation is. He does all that fact-finding, he builds a rapport, and he becomes a friend, and then he gives them advice as to what's best for them.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. You build trust, understand, you know, their hardships, and then press on them and figure out what makes. That's great. It's a really interesting model, because I don't think I've talked to anybody else that's sort of walking that balance between just the traditional agent side and flipping. So now on your investment side of your business, which I guess is Move Properties.
Yeah.
What does that look like for you guys over the last couple of years? I mean, I imagine like everybody else, you've made transitions.
Yeah. We were mostly focusing on remodels. I would say we were doing at any point in time about 10 remodels at a time. And that was really fun, and we enjoyed it. We really enjoy kind of that process of turning something that's not so great into something really beautiful. We were doing high-end properties. And, you know, one reason I love this business is because you can transition and change. And I have a little bit of ADD in the sense that I like to kind of switch things up as I get bored of things. And so that became not as glamorous as it was. And so also people were starting to do what we were doing in our market as far as doing remodels like us. And it could have been a bad thing where we say, oh, you know, someone's copying us, they're taking our brand, they're stealing our ideas. But instead of turning those into enemies, we turned those people into our partners, in the sense, okay, well, now what we're going to do is we're going to even help further it by switching these guys into partners, where we help design their stuff and we promote them on our site, and we actually try to sell their product as well with our retail team, instead of shunning them away and getting mad. So because we focused more on that, we didn't have to do as many remodels. We just shifted that business to our retail team to bring in money that way and actually do the marketing for a lot of these competitors, per se, that you'd say competitors.
Interesting.
And so as we converted to do that, we're doing less and less remodels, but Now we just kind of cherry pick some of the deals that are coming across our desk and do a remodel here and there. But more so we've shifted to having a little bit less risk in the market and not own as much property and focus on the traditional side, but also we saw in our market a opportunity for development where we were finding land or large pieces of land with a house on them and then looking at what the highest and best use is and doing some new development stuff that's kind of outside of our wheelhouse but seemed fun. So that's what we started to focus on in our market.
So is that coming about as a result of some of your direct mail? Are you finding, or are you specifically marketing to people that have land? What does that look like?
No, we're marketing to single family owners, but for example, we had one where there was a small house on a half an acre and we knew that we could subdivide that into two lots. So, you know, we bought it for 240 and we are actually looking, I mean, we would sell the lots, but we're actually looking at building homes on them. And then we had another property, it was 0.8 acres, had a house on it, and we found that it was zoned that you could put three twin homes on it, so you could have six units on it. So we're going through the entitlement process on that. So we're just going the highest and best use. So, I mean, the thing is that we're marketing to people that want to sell their homes, you know, and then we'll flip that home to one of these other remodelers that we are promoting on our website. We call it Move Approved. So it's a home that we put our stamp on and say, this is a good home. This is a home that Move would build. And then we market that. So yeah, we're doing a number of different things that we certainly were not doing 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and it makes sense too to, well, it's funny because a lot of the guys that get in CG, me included, you discover wholesaling and you're like, why in the world am I taking all this risk buying all these high-end houses when I could make, you know, maybe half as much, maybe even more, and not take any of the risk on and maybe even focus on volume. It sounds like you guys kind of came to the same conclusion.
Yeah, we did come to that conclusion. We also realized that sometimes, like we bought a condo. It was like a 1,500 square foot condo, two bedroom, two bath. And it was a deal that there wasn't enough spread in it for anyone to buy it from us, and we would have made, even if we did, maybe less than 10 grand. But we looked at it and we said, okay, we can buy this for 90,000 and we can sell it. At the time we thought we could sell it for like 160, something like that, and we had to put like 30,000 into it. So we thought, well, there's a better spread there and we can do it pretty quickly. And then we ended up selling it for even more than we thought. The market moved up a bit over that time period. And so it was a real quick remodel, that was the highest return for us was to just do it ourselves. And so, you know, we're kind of cherry picking and looking at deals like that because we've done lots of remodels. We know how to do it. So we might as well, you know, make spread ourselves on it.
Sure. Absolutely. So, to that point, what does your marketing look like today? How are you guys doing the direct mail?
We're just sending out a combination of postcards and letters where we're hitting lists every 30 to 60 days. And, you know, there's a few lessons that are always learned in that where we, you know, didn't scrub the list properly. That's one mistake you guys can learn from is make sure you run the list through to make sure if there's any bad addresses, you don't waste some postage on that. But basically, we just send out letters to targeted lists, have the calls come in, and we're answering them live. Set up meetings with the sellers, and just filter through that, you know, is to get our leads. And some of these land deals had just come from that, where they kind of fell into our lap, and it was something we didn't necessarily count on. But I think in real estate, it's about having a tool belt of different things, so that when leads do come across your desk, it's not like all these leads are one size fits all, but being able to recognize a deal when the lead comes in, it's not just like, okay, is this a flip or a wholesale or a land development? Like, you're not only going to target those one people or those one types of leads, but a lead's going to come in. And if you can recognize which path that should go down, that's where the value comes in. You know, we're not looking for the one size fits all, the cookie cutter deal. It's like, over the years, I think what we've learned is that you have to say, okay, how can we make this a deal, or how is this a deal, and to recognize that. And we've done that through education and learning things over time, but also partnering and up with people that know more in our market, where we say, okay, we don't know the best about this deal, but we can learn by partnering with this guy in our market we like and knows more about new build, or this guy who's a better rehabber than us, or who knows the area better. That's, you know, you don't want to always do it all yourself. And that's one of the big things we've learned. And we're utilizing partnerships and relationships with some people in our market instead of making them competitors and shunning them away. We bring people close in to make it so it's profitable for everybody. And then we can still participate and learn on a deal, but still focus on what we do best.
Yeah. I mean, I like what you said about having a tool belt. I think that's a perfect analogy of, you know, every deal looks a little different. You're not sure. It's funny. We call it our Plinko board of, you know, the deal kind of falls through the Plinko board, and we figure out, okay, is this a turnkey deal, a flip? Is it a scrape in a new construction? Or if it kind of spits out the bottom, it's probably a wholesale deal, and we'll just try to wholesale it.
Yeah. We do the same thing.
But you have the actual added tool belt now too of having this, the agency, the just the traditional agency there, which is fantastic.
So a couple of things that your listeners might want to know, and these are just fine tuning things, but when we're sending out a lot of postcards, and if you go with the cheaper bulk rate on a postcard, typically undeliverables won't come back to you, you know, return to sender. They don't come back to you. They just get thrown in the trash, I guess, at the post office. If you get the first class rate for a postcard, and I'm not even sure what that is, then all of the undelivers come to you, and you can scrub your list. If you can't, then you're just mailing out over and over again to undelivered addresses.
That's a really good tip. I've never noticed that before. I mean, we'll get a stack of postcards back, but I never realized it was the difference between paying first class versus bulk.
Yeah, and you may want to check with your post office, but that's what we've experienced. You pay more for the postage, but you save because you're not mailing over and over to those.
Sure. So, oh, absolutely.
And then, you know, sometimes what we'll do is, a particular postcard. So when we first got into CG, we met with Todd Toback out in San Diego, and we used the postcard that he had been using. And I think that there are a number of people that were using the same postcard in our market. Hmm. And sooner or later, it just is not effective. And so, you know, we just weren't getting calls, and or not the calls that we expected to get. And then we talked to Corey Boatwright in CG, and he had one that was really pulling well. And so we made the transition. So, I think you've got to be on top of it when you're doing your direct mail. You've always got to be saying, okay, these are the various programs that we're doing, and we track everything. So everything that we mail out has a different phone number on it. And then it comes into our CRM, and we can track how many responses we're getting off every mailing by the type of postcard because of the phone number. Mm-hmm. And if you're not hitting your percentages, then you got to say, what's wrong here? We've got to figure this out. This is not pulling anymore. We got to get something else. So, it's the lifeblood of your business is for the phone to be ringing.
It is. Well, knowing your metrics, absolutely. And it's funny, I've been guilty of that in the past, of not really paying attention to which campaigns are working and which ones aren't. But you've got to be on top of your numbers of what's pulling and what's not working and what lists are working and which ones aren't, because you can just waste a ton of money and time if you're not watching that.
Exactly.
So is there a deal that you guys have done here in the last 9 years that maybe stands out as like maybe your best deal ever that would be worth delving into?
I don't know. Which one do you think it would be? Probably Hermes. Yeah. So this is one up in a higher end neighborhood. We kind of focus on, but one of our specialties that we like, just because we personally like the style, is called Mid-Century Modern. Mm-hmm. It's kind of blown up in California, and it's made its way to Salt Lake. So we dabble in it. And we did one of those because they're hard to find here. And so when you find and come across them, they tend to sell for a little bit more. So I dove in and I learned a little bit about that style and got it kind of mildly obsessed with it for my own personal preferences. And then that kind of leaked into the business because I was helping acquire and find properties. And so we did a deal where we got, let's see, I don't even remember the exact numbers, but I think we bought it for around $3 million. We put about 120 into it. It was where we just did a lot of cool style things. It had a pass-through fireplace, opened up the kitchen to make it a more open layout, had a lot of glass to the backyard, and it backed onto a creek,
cool.
A seasonal creek. And so that was just a basic rehab in the sense we did a full gut on it, we took something that we do a lot of the times, we take two bedrooms. There was 3 bedrooms up. We'll combine 2 of the bedrooms into a big master suite,
mm-hmm.
and make that a really, really big closet and master bathroom. And then we timed the market right that we had listed in the springtime, and out-of-state buyer came in from California that liked the style. And since there wasn't much like it on the market, sold it for our list price within the first 2 weeks. I think we ended up netting just over around like 150, 160 on it was about the numbers.
Wow, nice.
So, you know, put 120 in, get 150 out. Those are the type of things we like to be involved in. And, you know, those are good ones, but we've had bad ones in the mix too. It's just part of the business, but that is definitely one of the better ones that stand out. And with what we do in our business, the nice part is like these buyers that buy our properties, they tend to be attracted to our properties because of our style and our tastes, and that means they have similar style and taste as well. We actually become friends with the people that buy our houses, even if they're not our clients to start with. They end up being our friends and come to our events and still hang out with us down the road, which is the case with these guys. So it's cool because we get to hang out in our properties that we remodeled down the road because we're still friends with these people. So it's a nice perk.
That's very cool, and that's good for the agent business as well. I mean, that's how you get referrals, just making friends.
Yeah. I mean, there's been times where we don't count on it. That's not our main motivation, but we become friends with these guys and down the road a year or two or whatever, and we're getting referrals from people that weren't necessarily our clients because they like us and they're friends with us. And instead of referring it to maybe the person that helped them buy the house, they end up giving us some leads. So
that's nice. Pretty cool. That's very cool. So, okay. So where can people find you if they want to learn more about the Move Group?
We have 2 websites. One is themovegroup.com. So again, that's Move spelled with a U. So MUVE. That's our traditional side of our business with all of our remodels and listings and all that kind of stuff. And then our investment side of the business is moveproperties.com. Again, the Move is spelled with a U. So yeah, those are our 2 websites you can check out that we put all of our stuff on. And our contact information is on there as well.
Perfect. Again, guys, it's themovegroup.com and moveproperties.com, spelled with a U. Greg and Matt, thanks so much for your time. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for inviting us again.
Hey, Deal Farm Podcast listeners, this is Ken Corsini with a special offer. If you go to our website right now, dealfarm.net, you have the ability to download our new blueprint. It's called 30 Days to 10K. It's basically the exact blueprint you need to start profiting from wholesaling real estate right now. It's the resources, it's the websites, it's the services that we use. I've even included my exact postcard that I send out. Basically everything you need to start getting deals in the next 30 days. Again, it's at our website, dealfarm.net. Check it out, you can download it for free. Also, we still have our free t-shirt offer. If you want a free Deal Farm Podcast t-shirt, just subscribe through iTunes to our podcast and give us a 5-star rating, and then go through our website, contact us, give us your name, address, and t-shirt size, and we will send you a t-shirt in the mail immediately. As always, thanks so much for listening to the Deal Farm. We'll see you on the next episode. Take care.